Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we, running to obtain your promises, may become partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from Esther. The king and Haman went in to feast with Queen Esther. On the second day, as they were drinking wine, the king again said to Esther, "What is your petition, Queen Esther?" "It shall be granted you." "And what is your request?" "Even to the half of my kingdom it shall be fulfilled." Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have won your favor, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me. That is my petition. And the lives of my people, that is my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. If we had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have held my peace. But no enemy can compensate for this damage to the king." Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, "Who is he, and where is he, and who has presumed to do this?" Esther said, "A foe and enemy, this wicked Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs in attendance on the king, said, "Look, the very gallows that Haman has prepared for Mordecai whose word saved the king, stands at Haman's house, 50 cubits high. And the king said, hang him on that. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that had been prepared for Mordecai. Then the anger of the king abated. Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, enjoining them that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar, and also the 15th day of the same month, year by year, as the days on which the Jews gained relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and presents to the poor. The word of the Lord.
Reading from the letter of James. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a magnitude of sins. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not a follower of us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will be by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone was hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eyes cause you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salty with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My son Max is turning 8 on Wednesday. He decided that we needed to go to Disney World. So yesterday I was at Universal all day. Whew. What another universe. First of all, I couldn't believe how outrageously expensive everything was. And then there are all these people wandering around in strange costumes. As I've gotten older, I've gotten more nauseated at rides, so I ended up sitting down while JD took the boys on these wild things. And I would sit there and just watch the people. So many young people. And most of them wore hardly anything. There were girls walking around in bikinis. It was hot, but everybody was scoping everybody out, you know? Don't you remember those days being young and spending so much time worrying if you were fat or if you were tall enough or thinking your nose didn't look right or something was always worth worrying about? It seems like we Americans get so consumed with our bodies. When we're young, we worry about what we look like and we try to look better. And then once we get older, we finally get over and accept what we look like just in time for our body to start malfunctioning. So we begin to worry about what's wrong with our body and what doesn't work. Either way, we end up spending enormous time thinking about our bodies. You know, Deacon Louise, who usually serves at our 8 o'clock service, has scoliosis. Her spine is very bent. And 2 weeks ago, she fell and broke her wrist. The 8 o'clock congregation has been worrying about her and praying about her, as many of you have. And I spoke to her on the phone on Friday. We don't know if she'll be able to come back and serve with us here or not. But something became very clear to me. Even though Louise's body is not working as well, she's still a deacon with us. In fact, I would say that she's having an even greater impact as a deacon now than when she was with us. Everybody's asking about her, everybody's writing to her, she's praying for everyone, people are dropping by her house for spiritual direction. God is doing something with her, even though her body doesn't seem to be working very well. You heard the gospel, didn't you? It's a kind of disturbing one. Jesus talks about the body, but he says that if our hand causes us to mess up a lot, we should cut it off. I've always struggled with that one. Ouch! Why would that be a good thing? I don't think that Jesus is advocating maiming your body, but I think he's trying to make a point. The point is that it's better to go to God with a broken body than it is to spend all of your life consumed with your body and have no time for God. That God sees you differently. For God, your body is a container within which your essence lives. And your body is important. It is to be honored, but it is not the entirety of who you are. You are also more than your body. When God looks upon you, God sees beauty differently. And God does not so much care about how good your body looks or how well it's working, as much as God cares about your salt. Jesus uses that term, salt. Have salt in yourselves, he says. I've always wondered what he was talking about. I went and bought a book about salt. It has about 400 pages, and it's a history of salt and the use of salt. It was a national bestseller. I can't believe you could write that much about salt. And I can't believe that that many people would buy it. The author claims that there are 140,000 different uses for salt, which means that when Jesus used that imagery, he meant a lot. Back in Jesus' day, salt was used primarily for two purposes. One was for the preservation of things. If you put salt with meat, it will last longer. It will be viable. You can eat it, yes? Also, if you add salt to food, and this you and I experience almost daily, if you add salt to food, what does it do? It heightens the flavor of the food itself. It makes it taste more like itself. Salt brings out flavor. Salt also makes you thirsty for water. So if you and I are salt, if we have salt within ourselves, then we must use that salt. Salt is no good sitting by itself. Its purpose is only known when it is used as an ingredient with other things. And although you may think that your salvation is dependent upon your belief in God and the state of your soul, and that's true, but if you live your whole life without using your salt, then it's a waste. In fact, Jesus says, if you can help another grow closer to God, then God will overlook a myriad of your sins. God will be so happy to have another soul. And the reverse is true. If you actually get in the way of someone growing closer to God, well, that's not a good idea. God is watching not what you look like, not how well you function, but how much you are salting the world with your essence. In the Old Testament, we heard this amazing story of Esther. Some of you know this story about a woman who was so beautiful that everyone looked at her. And the king chose her to be his wife. And when the king married her, her uncle said, "Don't tell him that you're Jewish. Don't tell him you're Jewish because he might kill you." So Esther marries the king, wondering what her life is about. She never seems to really care that much about how beautiful she is. When she's queen, a man named Haman, who works for the king, starts persecuting and killing the Jews. And Esther realizes why God has placed her there. She realizes what her salt is. Esther's salt is not her beauty, it is her courage. In order to go in and bother the king and ask him a question, you have to be willing to die, because he can decide to kill you if you interrupt him while he's in his bedroom. Esther decides to go in. The king lets her enter, and he pardons her for bothering him. He does not kill her. And she pleads with him for the life of her people, and she tells him that she's Jewish, knowing that she could die, but knowing that she alone has the power to help them. And her people are saved. And the king uses Haman's own gallows to hang Haman himself. And so a woman gives her life so that others can live. And to this day, the Jews remember Esther, and they feast and give thanks for her courage. You know, I think Deacon Louise's salt is her contemplation and her prayers. And they continue, probably stronger than ever, which is why I feel her presence with us, even when she can't be here in person. You know, in the Middle Ages, before they baptized a baby, they used to put salt on the baby to protect the baby and to help the baby remember who he or she was, and to find out how to express that salt for the rest of their lives. So, I ask you, what is your salt? What is your essence? How can you make your life sing like a song to others? How can you express your love in just your own unique way and bring out the life and the flavor of this world? Amen.
Let us stand to renew our baptismal covenant. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? God, the Holy Spirit. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord.
I will, God.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, God.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, God.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will.
Almighty God, who changes forever through the waters of baptism, help us to live more fully as your children. Living God,
hear our prayer.
You have marked us as Christ's own forever. Help us to live generously and without fear. Living God,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those who are sick, suffering, or in need. May they experience the peace of your presence at all times and in all places. I invite you to speak the names of those in need aloud. Living God,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those who have died, that they may have eternal life. I invite you to speak their names aloud. We especially remember Carlton DeRissi, Sr. Living God,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for the ministries of this cathedral that touch the lives of the poor, the homeless, the sick, the elderly, and little children. Give us the strength, courage, and joy to grow these ministries and to serve you here in the city of Jacksonville and throughout the world. Living God,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for all the blessings of this life. I invite you to name your blessings aloud. Living God,
hear our prayer.
Pour yourselves into our hearts, O Lord, as you were poured upon us in the waters of baptism. May your prayers flow freely to your heart and be found acceptable in your sight.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways for the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Please be seated. Welcome, everybody. We're so glad you're here. If you're new or visiting, we have a little card in your pew, and you can write on that, and then we can send you our e-newsletter. We're so glad you're here visiting with us today. We also have in the back tours that we can go, and you can see this beautiful building, and join us for coffee hour in Tolliver Hall following the service. I want to also welcome John Barry, who's with us today. Thank you, John. Tim is on vacation, and it's always such a joy to have John come and play with us. We also have another group of special guests, Father Raja and his family. Would you stand up? Father Raja has come here from Egypt. He has come from Cairo, and we want to welcome you. Please pray for Father Raja as he tries to make a place here in the United States. He had to flee Cairo because things are so bad now for Christians there. So we're going to try to help him make a home here. Please make him feel at home. Thank you so much. We're glad you're here. A couple of announcements. Next Sunday coming up is our Blessing of the Animals service. Now that's at 9 o'clock. So if you have pets, bring them at 9 o'clock. It'll be outside around the labyrinth. It's always a great joy. They drink a lot of holy water. We have a good time. Also, if you have little ones that are 3 or under, they will be blessing stuffed animals down in the nursery. So make sure they bring their stuffed animals tomorrow. Not tomorrow, next Sunday. The leadership breakfast will be this Tuesday. There's more about that in your bulletin. We will be feeding the homeless at Sulzbacher tomorrow, also in your bulletin. There are some posters for some of our members who are working the Curcio weekend, and that is a wonderful retreat in which people learn more about Christ. If you can sign those posters, it's very encouraging for them. Those are out in Tolliver Hall. And we have a member who has turned 90. She will be turning 90 tomorrow. So we're going to have birthday cake for her in Tolliver Hall. Betty, can you stand up? Betty Flynn will be 90 tomorrow. Happy birthday. We're very proud of you. That's something else. And now our senior warden, the lay leader of this church, John Falconetti, is going to give you a few words. We're very blessed to have him as our lay leader. John, would you come?
I was telling Dean Kate earlier, it's like Garth Brooks. I love this thing over here. How are y'all doing this morning? I'm very excited to be speaking with all the services, and the sermon keeps getting better and better, and we're very blessed to have Dean Kate with us. I wanted to share a cute joke first that I had recently heard, and it's about an atheist who wanted to go fishing. So he got in his boat, and he paddled out to the middle of the lake. And after a while, out of nowhere, the Loch Ness Monster appears. And he uses his tail to flip the boat and the atheist up in the air. And as the atheist begins to tumble back down to earth, back towards the monster whose mouth is open, he cries out, "Dear God, save me!" And as if time stood still, the atheist is frozen in flight. And he hears this voice. He says, "My son, why only now is it that you believe in me?" And the atheist replies, "God, give me a break. 2 minutes ago, I didn't believe in the Loch Ness Monster either." As a senior warden, I have the great pleasure to work with the clergy, the staff, and an incredible group of people on the vestry that serve you selflessly. I also have the great benefit of following a tremendous senior warden in Susan Corey. Susan, thank you for your continued leadership in our congregation. A lot of my time right now is spent with the stewardship committee. And as many of you know, the theme that they selected this year, I find it very intriguing. It's living generously as we also study the baptismal waters. When I first heard this, my mind went to the rich imagery that we see in the Bible. Of course, early on in Genesis, we learn that life came forth from the water. We learn of a river that flowed through the Garden of Eden that nourished and fed this place of perfection. Of course, we all know about the 40 days and 40 nights with Noah, and we know about how Moses and the Jews were delivered from bondage as the waters of the Red Sea parted and they walked to freedom. His imagery continues through into the New Testament. Of course, when Jesus presents himself in front of St. John the Baptist to be baptized in the waters of the Jordan. But any conversation, I think, would fall short if we didn't discuss the time that Jesus sat on the side of a well with an outcast Samaritan woman, and they had a conversation about eternal life. And in John 4, verse 14, Jesus spoke about a water that would nourish us eternally. He spoke about a spring that would flow eternal. Now, he obviously wasn't talking about Zephyr Hills or Perrier. He was talking about a Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that would feed and nurture our souls, just like our physical beings depend on water to survive. Now, I think if we think about this, it can go a step past the theological understanding. But let's also look at our community. Jacksonville literally grew from the banks of the St. John's River, a majestic river that begins in Orlando, down in central Florida, and is fed with natural springs from Lake George. And that river flows north and winds its way through northeast Florida, exits into the ocean not far from where we stand today. Along that way, it has continued to be fed by tributaries, many of them here in Jacksonville, like Dunn's Creek, the Trout River, Ortega River, and Pablo Creek. This river is continued to made forth towards its journey to the ocean through these tributaries. Now, much like the St. John's River, I think we're blessed to have other iconic figures and establishments within our community that feed it. For example, this cathedral. And I believe that just as the tributaries feed the St. John's River, each one of you as congregates of this amazing place feed the cathedral. Now, collectively, when we look at the amazing ways that we help this community and help each other, we look to how we feed and we clothe the homeless. We have a world-class choir. We have a Christian education program that is absolutely phenomenal and diverse. We have a youth program that we will continue to invest in until it's a model of Christian formation. And we have a nursery that is reborn, a place that is loving and gentle and caring for our babies. Now, obviously, with all of these gifts and all of these resources that we provide, it places a very large, expensive burden on the cathedral. And so many of you have lived up to the biblical calling to give of your time, talent, and treasures. And so many of you understand that where your treasure lies, your heart lies. So during this time of giving, during this theme of living generously, I ask you to think about what that theme really means. Living generously is our opportunity to enjoy the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. So live generously, thoughtfully, and prayerfully consider giving. Giving generously. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, John. We're very blessed with his leadership. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Oh,
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is good, it is right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by his own gift of the Holy Spirit, we are enabled to do the deeds of charity and mercy in his name. And to all who bear the name of Christ and give of themselves for the sake of the kingdom and in service to others, our Lord promises a great reward in heaven. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with St. John and all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Please join me, if you will, in sending forth our Eucharistic visitors. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. God be your comfort and strength. God be your hope and support. God be your light and your way. And the blessing of God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, remain with you now and forever. Amen.
Rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.